Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Live, welcome to the program here. The phones are open. If you want to join us, you can bring up anything you want to talk about here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Bonnie.
We are, I think, expecting Jay, who's normally here on Thursday night, and normally he will let me know if he's running late. But he hasn't. So
maybe he forgot because
hopefully he's okay.
Maybe last week he planned to not come, so maybe he just got out of routine and forgot.
I know he didn't get arrested today at the courthouse at Hillsboro District Court. Which reminds me, I need to email probation.
Yeah, because we had a conversation.
Yeah, anytime on my bail conditions, whenever I have any kind of quote interaction with law enforcement, I have to inform my probation officer.
Just as soon as, is convenient. So don't go crazy, haters, thinking,
No, there was some interactions with law enforcement today at the Hillsboro Courthouse in Hillsboro County. This is
spelled differently.
It is a town named Hillsboro.
With no G.
Correct.
And I learned this today. I'm so annoyed.
And then there's the county, which does have the GH.
That's just so dumb.
So this is not the county superior court, but the district court in the town of Hillsboro, which
in
I've been at a number of times.
UGH, just to let the listener understand how annoying that
is. That's the county, not the town.
Right. They should have to spell it the same.
Well, whatever. Anyway, so the reason why we were there, Bonnie, you were there, I was there, co-host Chris Wade was there, Frank Footloose was there, a regular caller to the show. And also Press NH Now and Riley and Dave Ridley.
And Dave Ridley, yep.
Was there. And so we actually had a really good turnout.
Representative Jason Gerhard,
that's right, yep. Yeah, we had a really good turnout today. What is that, like 9 people or something?
I think Ridley had said 8.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we had 5 in our car and then 3 other guys. Yeah,
yep.
So 8 people came out to this thing. It was a very short notice, very short notice event. Less than 24 hours notice on this one. And what happened was there's a little or a lot of background here that can be communicated on what's going on. And I suspect similar things are happening in courthouses around the country wherein it is a some sort of a violation
of the policy. It's not a law.
What is called? It's not a law. It's,
no, I mean, in other states, I don't know.
I don't know. I can't speak to other states,
right.
But I've heard that in other states you're just not allowed to bring cameras into court at all.
Right, like our friend who did a lot of court activism in Missouri, he was not allowed to bring a camera, period.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or maybe even not even a cell phone. I don't remember.
Some are like that. Massachusetts.
But definitely no recording.
Yeah, in Massachusetts you can't bring a cell phone in at all. But you can record in Massachusetts. So anyway, it's different everywhere. So your mileage may vary on this one. If you want to comment on what's going on where you live, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. But what happened was, years ago, here in our very own little Keene, New Hampshire district court, where activists were very busy, there was a lot of activism, a lot of civil disobedience kind of stuff going on here about 13 or 14 years ago. This was the time frame when Derek Jay's victimless crime spree was recorded. That was 2011. Of course, our friend Nobody, formerly known as Rich Paul, was doing the 420 things in Central Square in Keene. Mass cannabis civil disobedience, that was going on in 2009. And civil disobedience here goes all the way back to 2005, 2006 with Russell Canning and his wife Kat and Lauren Canario getting arrested for peaceful protests at the IRS office and things like that.
Handing out flyers at the IRS office.
That was one of the things. Another time they were holding signs. So anyway, there's been a lot of activity in the courts here in Keene. And in, I think it was 2011, the courts in Keene, by the way, there's a so-called superior court and a district court located in the same building. In larger counties with more population, they have those in separate buildings, but here it's all in the same building. So the superior court is on the second floor, the district court's on the first floor, and so on. So the judges from both of the superior and district courts issued an order that was this administrative order that essentially said that you cannot record video outside of the courtroom. You can record in the courtroom.
Yep. With permission.
Well, no, you don't need permission to record.
Sorry, with notice.
They want notice, which, in my opinion, they shouldn't even.
And sometimes
be able
they
to
mix
require.
That up and they say, like, I don't remember approving you. I approved Ian Freeman here with Free Keene, but who are you? I didn't approve you to record. And then the person, the right answer to that is usually, I don't have to ask you. I already notified you.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, you shouldn't even have to notify them. You should just show up with a camera.
I'm saying according to how the laws are, or the policy is actually written right now, they only need notice. And they always
are
acting like they...
That's their own court rules, yeah.
Not always, but like the least trained judges, I've seen them be like to Joa,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember approving you filming.
They want to feel like they are able to deny you. They want to feel like they're approving you. But the reality is you have a right to record these hearings. They're public hearings. So if you stand on your right to record, they usually back down and then they say, okay, you're approved.
Yeah, I've never seen them actually stop someone from recording, right. But that's all they do.
Yeah, they huff and puff sometimes, and they make a big to-do
about
it. But
in Massachusetts, it was so bad for Chris Wade, who was recording for Free Keene, so he was the actual press. He had to put in requests, and it took, like, months. They were, like, not replying to him over email and stuff. And then at one point, he started recording, like, a slight bit early, and she stood there chewing him out, saying, like, you can only record when court is in session, even though, like, he had no idea court wasn't in session. Like, she had already started,
this
like...
This is in the courtroom, you're saying?
Yep. Wow. She had already started talking to, you know, the person who was there, the defendant, and everything, and he just saw what was going on, so she stopped everything to be like, you, sir, you only record in my courtroom when we're in session, and, like, I could take you out and all this stuff.
So... Psycho. So this order got put into place back in like 2011, and it was posted at the front of the courthouse for years until finally the Supreme Court in New Hampshire adopted essentially the Keene Court's order as a statewide order affecting all courts, that there would be essentially no recording. And you reviewed it today, Bonnie, and I couldn't remember if audio recording was included, but apparently it is. No recording of any sort.
Even photographs.
Even photographs or audio recording in the lobby areas, the non-courtroom areas, basically.
Anywhere in a courtroom that's not... Courthouse that's not a courtroom.
Correct. And...
Hallways.
Yep. And so there have been some arrests for this early on, like a decade plus ago.
Who got arrested? Ridley?
I think Sam Dotson got arrested once for that. I don't know if Ridley... I don't think he's ever been arrested for that.
Didn't you get arrested for that?
No.
You with some other people? Oh, no, it was trespass at a court.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, this order came down, and it kind of came in at a time when, you know, a lot of activists were catching criminal charges for peaceful civil disobedience. And it just didn't seem to really strike the right time for people to challenge it. Because one of the things that those of us who've done multiple instances of civil disobedience have learned over time is that the more you get arrested, the worse it tends to get for you as far as sentence. I mean, this is basic.
So you have a record?
Yeah, exactly. So you get worse and worse sentences because you have now a criminal record. Even though you never harmed anyone, you've, quote-unquote, violated the law, and so they come at you
harder
and harder.
You're a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm. Right. So my civil disobedience arrests are counting towards my federal case because they still count as convictions, right? Like I'm a convicted offender, quote unquote, and so therefore I will have a harsher set of penalty guidelines than Aria Demetso, our co-host, who is currently in federal prison on the Crypto 6 case. If you want to learn about that, you can go to thecrypto6.com. So what I'm saying is the people who were doing the civil disobedience at that time were already getting arrested for other things, and I think that's one of the reasons why there wasn't a taste that these people had to go and get arrested for this thing, which would be violating what is clearly an unconstitutional ban on recording in a public place. And to make matters worse, if I recall correctly, when we've talked to attorneys about this, there hasn't really been a whole lot of excitement from attorneys in advance in taking this on. Because that's one thing you can do is if you know you're going to go violate some illegal law or whatever, is you call an attorney in advance and say, hey, look, do you want to be my attorney on this case? They may arrest me. This may turn into a case. You know, would you be willing to work on this? Now, of course, ideally, as an activist, you want an attorney who's going to do it pro bono because you can't afford to, you know, activists can't afford anything. And it was hard to find, if I recall correctly, attorneys.
Why is that? Is it just because activists are more likely to be people who don't want to pay taxes so they don't get jobs as often?
I think that people that are doing activism are, at least in our circles, more likely to have less to lose because if you have a lot to lose, you're less likely to do risky activism. So, for instance, we've seen activists become inactive because of doing things like having children, for instance, because they know that the state can essentially lean on their kids and threaten their children and say, look, if you do X, Y, or Z, then we're going to take your kids from you. And so that effectively limits what those activists are willing to do in that case.
Yeah. Okay, kids is one thing, but that's obvious. But
the same thing's true for other people. I mean, a child is, to a lot of people, a very important thing in their life, right?
Well, I'm not arguing
other
that.
People,
I'm not saying that's not true or doesn't make sense to me. That makes sense. It's fine.
Okay,
I'm saying
so
everyone else.
Everyone else, they may have, if they don't have kids, then they may have a wife or they may have a house or whatever, right? Like, there's certain things that people who have things have that they're worried about losing. Whereas if you are, sure, that's what it is. But if you are somebody who doesn't have a lot of things, then you have not much to lose. And so therefore you might be more inclined to take certain risks that other people aren't willing to take. Now, you know, whether that's right or wrong is a whole other discussion.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong either. I'm saying it's silly. It's like, oh, I have this material possession that will disappear when I die.
Yeah.
So I can't make my actual life better for me and help humanity. I just think, why are you here to pay your mortgage and work for an idiot and be an idiot your whole life and just do nothing?
Well, I don't think calling names is going to help persuade those people. But I think that, if you go back and you look at, like, the American Revolution, what was the old thing they said about the people that fought in the American Revolution, that they put up their lives and their fortunes and their honor or whatever? Like, there's a certain phrase. Yeah, there's a certain phrase, like, they put it all at risk. These were not paupers in the American Revolution. These were successful people who had houses and wives and children and careers and things like that, and they literally laid it all on the line. So we've fallen a long way from that. That's what I'm saying here, Bonnie, is your critique is valid. It's completely valid when you compare the activists of today who think that posting on Twitter or X is quote-unquote activism versus the activists of 250 years ago.
Like just continually trying to do anything within the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, the activists of 250 years ago who literally put their lives on the line.
Yeah, I feel sick for them sometimes because Revolutionary War guys.
Oh,
that's like
yeah.
the only war that seems from America that I know of that was like legitimate. Well, I guess it was legitimate to defend yourself if you were a Confederate person in the Civil War.
Wait, oh yeah, the Civil War, sure.
Yeah, but what was I going to say about it? Like, I just feel sick for them. It's like, imagine if they could see America today.
Indeed.
And the other thing is, that's why I like Aaron Day, because he, whenever we interviewed him on the show, Aaron Day is running for president.
Yep, Day 2024, I think is his website.
But he's cooler than that. He's not just like, I'm going to change things. I'm going to get in office and change things. He's more like trying to bring awareness by running for office. And if you even just donate a dollar to him on his website, he needs a certain number of donors in order to qualify for things like debate. So
yeah.
just throwing that out there.
One of the questions I asked him, I didn't hear back from him, and I imagine he's pretty busy, but it was the first debate that just happened like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
That he had to get 40,000 donors to qualify for that debate. I bet you that number goes up for the second debate, but I don't know. And that's what I asked him. I was like, well, does this number go up? Because obviously he didn't make it for the first debate, which is a shame, because he's the only one with a unique message that would have been up there. He's the only essentially Ron Paul like candidate.
The reason I brought him up is I just really respect the fact that he told us on the show when we interviewed him, well, I have kids, and therefore that's why I became an activist. That's the way it should be. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to be like, well, I would have been an activist when I didn't have kids, but then once I had human beings I cared for that will live on further into the future than I will, I stopped caring about the future. That makes no sense. That's why I just really respect people who have kids and are still activists.
Like I agree. Or Alu Axelman, for instance.
Alu.
Yeah, Jay and Alu are two great examples of people who are regularly heard voices on this show who, if anything, they haven't slowed down one iota since they had children. I couldn't believe it. I figured this was going to be the end for Alu.
Yeah, I was a little worried about Alu.
Because, you know, he's so busy with, you know, he works and now he's got a kid and all that. I figured that we'd barely ever see him again. And he's just out there as much as he takes his kid with him. So,
and
some people criticize that too, Bonnie. They say, oh, well, you shouldn't get your kids involved in activism because it, quote unquote, looks bad.
Why?
The idea is you're forcing the children to, you know, hold a sign or whatever. You're inculcating them with your particular viewpoint, which is the purview of having children, right? Like, that's one of the things that parents do is they inculcate their children with their particular viewpoint, that happens to be.
Yesterday on the show, I was talking about how when I was in fifth grade, I wore a shirt that said Earth Day equals socialism that my mom made
Earth
at school.
Day, okay.
And it's not like I was like, I understood it and everything. I was just like, yeah, because they want us to believe that climate change is real so that way they can tax us more. But I think that the teacher literally said, like, she doesn't even know what that means.
Did you know what socialism meant?
I had the idea of what it meant. That it meant, like, the government has more control. That's basically all I knew, I guess. I watched, like, Fox News and stuff. But I feel like there's a reason I brought it up. It's not always
using the children.
It could be, sure. Like, it could be using the kid, but the kid might also be able to think for itself.
Indeed. And like I said, that's fully within the purview of a parent. We may not like what parents do with their children, like, you know, whether it's taking them to church or taking them to a drag show or whatever it is you don't like about what other parents do. That is not your business. So, you know, people are always going to critique, though. There's always a critique of activism.
Right, but right now, Alu's kid, since that's why we brought it up, he's like an infant. So he just kind of has him in a baby basket with him while he's
just
walking
toting
around.
Him along.
Yeah. So, but I think it'll be really cute one day when he's walking around with an NH Exit t-shirt.
But I think one of the best points you made there, Bonnie, was that it's actually counterproductive to do less when you have kids because you're not trying to make a better world for them, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
You love your kids. You presumably want the best for them. And shouldn't that be a more free world if you indeed love freedom? If you love socialism, then, you know, things are going in your direction. If you love fascism, then you're getting more of that. But for those of us that love freedom, if you've got children, and we don't, you and I, we don't have kids. But if you do, then shouldn't that motivate you to do more?
Right.
To do more activism? Again, it doesn't have to mean putting everything on the line.
Yeah,
I don't blame someone for not wanting to do that.
Alu doesn't do, like, maybe the most risky kind of activism, but he's still incredibly important and active. And anytime you're doing even just the stuff he's doing, like writing books and stuff like that, he's sticking his neck out. Like, it's not like they won't come up with a reason to go after you.
Right. If you want to comment here, the number is 603-283-6160. So to come back around with what we were getting into with the court system, here in New Hampshire, there's an order that says, thou shalt not record video, audio, or take even still photographs inside a courthouse, with the exception of the courtroom, unless the judge has set aside a specific, what they call, staging area for people to do that. So the idea being that
I've never seen a staging area. Have you?
No, you would have to ask for one specifically.
It's like event by event. Sorry.
I think so. So the idea being that if you're in a courthouse, but not in the courtroom, so if you're in the clerk's area or in the lobby or wherever else, then you're not allowed to record any media in those areas. If you do, the order from the Supreme Court says you'll be asked to leave, which is interesting because it doesn't say that it would be considered a...
Like trespass or...
Well, it doesn't...
Or, well, yeah, you get trespass.
It would be a trespass if you're asked to leave.
It doesn't say it's a crime.
Well, it's not a crime because it's not a statutory violation that the state reps have written up. This is a court order. And so what it doesn't say is that you'll be charged with contempt.
Hmm.
Now, I don't think it has to say that.
Yes,
because generally, if there is a court order and you violate a court order, you are charged with contempt. It's
just
one of those
things. Charged for like wearing a hat in the courtroom with contempt, you can probably get charged for filming.
Yeah, contempt, unfortunately, is not statutory. Contempt is a what they describe as a, quote, inherent power. It's a whim, for sure. But it is a, quote, unquote, inherent power of the Western court system.
Ew.
So the big problem with contempt is you can't, the state legislature, if a state legislature or legislator here in New Hampshire wanted to somehow modify what the court can or can't do about contempt, I don't think they could do it. I don't think they could pass a bill that could tell the courts, you can't charge people with contempt for X, Y, or Z. You can't charge people with contempt at all. You can't.
Why?
I don't.
Why can't they just pass a law that says that?
I don't think they can.
You can't do that. Just because it's inherent to the entire West? Why are we ruled by anything that's the entire West?
I know. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's just that's the court system. Now, maybe it could be done with a constitutional amendment. But I think that would be the only way.
To New Hampshire's constitution.
I think that if you wanted to change something about the court system, because the courts are created by the Constitution, so therefore, but the Constitution doesn't talk about contempt.
Yeah.
So they just make this crap up.
Hmm.
So I think the only way you'd be able to do it would be to change the actual Constitution, because remember, if you pass a statutory change, then the court system can review that change and throw it out as unconstitutional. So that's what they did with the first jury nullification law that got passed here in New Hampshire by the state legislature, was the courts threw it out. They said this is unconstitutional. It's been overturned.
Wow.
So you would have to actually change the Constitution, and then they wouldn't be able to say that a change to the Constitution
is
unconstitutional.
Does the Constitution mention jury nullification?
No, of course
not.
So
that's just crazy. How is it unconstitutional then?
The statute itself was unconstitutional, according to the court. I don't remember the wording of the statute, so I don't want to go too deep into what that was or wasn't at the time. The number here is 603-283-6160, so that's some of the background. It's against a Supreme Court order to record in the courts, but that's exactly what happened this afternoon at Hillsborough District Court. Bonnie, you and I were there to witness it.
And, I took pictures.
And, okay.
In the courtroom.
There's more coming up here.
Very obvious.
In moments, we got more on the way, and this is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News Update. Tropical Storm Idalia isn't ready to head out to sea just yet. Parts of eastern North Carolina are experiencing flash floods, and the South Santee River is under a tropical storm warning all the way to the North Carolina-Virginia state line. Idalia is expected to move out into the Atlantic Ocean later today. Former President Donald Trump is being accused of greatly overstating his net worth on financial disclosure forms. Scott Pringle has more.
New York Attorney General Letitia James filed court papers Wednesday alleging that Trump's net worth was between $800 million and $2.2 billion less each year for a decade. This is part of a civil lawsuit where James argues that because Trump allegedly lied on financial forms, the Trump Organization got better loans. James is seeking sanctions that would hurt the Trump Organization's operations in the state. Trump has called the case a witch hunt. A trial is set for October.
This is USA News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, which is not very common when it comes to cryptocurrencies out there. A lot of them are very technical, and they're really cool technology and whatever it is they're trying to do, but many of them are not even trying to be used for actual buying and selling. Dash is, and they've been focused on that from the beginning, basically, and they're one of the earliest cryptos that ever came out. They're widely available on exchanges, including the Maya protocol, which is a decentralized exchange, which is very, very cool from what I understand. You can learn more at Dash.org. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. That's Dash.org. Transactions with Dash are irreversible. Their network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete. So it is great for merchants. Dash fees are way less than 1 cent per transaction. Way cheaper than Bitcoin, where it's like sometimes a dollar or two, sometimes more.
Go to Dash.org to learn more, and big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Bonnie, you and I were at the Hillsboro District Court here in New Hampshire today. It's about a 40-minute drive from our studio location here in Keene. And it's a very, very small courthouse.
It's where Taco Biondo is.
That's actually something worth going to Hillsboro for. The court, however, not so much.
Such a weird courthouse. It's connected to a liquor store and a Subway.
It's
all
in the
one
back.
Building. And
yeah.
It's like in the back, right? Like it's like hidden. It just looks like a typical plastic siding house.
Very nondescript kind of look.
Nondescript white building. One-story looking.
Yeah, usually courthouses are these very elaborate structures, right? Where
no one really commented on that today. Like, this isn't churchy.
Yeah, it is not a churchy courthouse. You're right about that. I mean, it still has pews, I think, if you were to actually go into the courtroom, which we did not do today. The courtroom was closed. The lights were off. At one point, the officer who was there, who says, by the way, the court security officer asked him if he swore an oath to the Constitution. I was surprised when he said no.
He has a gun. He has the ability to arrest people, and he didn't swear an oath to the Constitution, or at least he says so.
He claims he didn't. I mean, why would he lie about that? I mean, they lie about a lot of things, but why would you lie about not swearing an oath to the Constitution?
At first, he wasn't going to give his name. He's like, I don't have to give it to you. And I was like, yes. He's like, because I'm not a cop. And I was like, yes, you do, because isn't it the Eighth Amendment, right?
Article.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, yeah, I think it's the Eighth,
open and accountable transparency government, yeah.
And he was just like, my name's blah, blah, blah. I don't remember his name.
It was hard to remember name, yeah.
Yeah, it was recorded, though. Oh, Vernon. That was his first name.
Was that right? Okay. It was some kind of foreign sounding last name. Anyway, this guy.
It was like Vernon Pluot.
He was so rude, and so anyway, we were there to challenge. I wasn't there to challenge the recording ban because, well, I'm on bail condition, so it would not be a good idea for me to do that because there is the risk of arrest. Now, to be fair, I don't think anyone has been arrested for this for more than a decade in New Hampshire, but also it hasn't really been challenged in any significant manner in about a decade.
Has anybody been arrested, quote unquote, for it, as in they went in there recording and then the cops show up and arrest them for something more like civil disobedience? Because that seems like what they would do, so that way no one can challenge the...
See, I don't remember the original arrest for this. It's been so long. We're talking about like 2010, somewhere in that range. I think Sam Dodson, former co-host on Free Talk Live, was arrested for recording in the courthouse, but I will have to review that particular case to get the details on, you know, what the circumstances were there. So, in recent memory, I don't recall anybody being arrested for this. And that's the thing, is like, in the court's order, it specifies that if you are violating the order, you will be asked to leave. And that is very unusual.
And it's like, period.
Right. It's very unusual because...
What I meant by that is it doesn't say after you don't comply, after being asked to leave. Like, it doesn't give any more information.
Well, it doesn't have to, because we know what happens if you're asked to leave a place by someone authorized to ask you to leave. They can then charge you with criminal trespass if you don't leave. So that's why our friend Joa, who used to be here regularly on Thursday nights, he's now living in Grafton, so he's not in the area at this time. But he would always leave. He would start walking backwards, kind of like Dave Ridley did back in the day when police were ordering him to leave a place.
Yeah, but they know not to arrest people for that anymore because of Dave Ridley.
And Dave Ridley was arrested wrongfully trying to walk backwards out of a parking lot. While he was still recording.
Yeah, I was going to say, why was he walking backwards? It's because he wanted to continue being able to film the goons. It's not illegal. And he was walking towards his car, and he told that to the cop. The cop, I could go off about this, because I just watched all the videos recently. And all the court videos with the cop lying about it. So terrible.
Yeah, but he won that case, Dave Ridley, and so he was within his rights to slowly leave. They can't order you to run out of the parking lot. They can't order you to, because you'd be putting yourself in danger.
Yeah, or walk in a certain direction. Like, he's backing up because he was holding his camera and spacing it at them.
And if you're backing up, you don't want to back up in a quick manner, because that will put you in danger. If you, you know, walk backwards quickly, you're more likely to do something like trip over something or fall or whatever.
And, you know, like, being friends with Riley, and since he lived here, has made me think of so many different things, like how cops, you know, act like they can apply things to everyone. Like, Riley doesn't seem to really run. Like, there was a couple times I was like, come on, let's go check on Ridley today. And I was like, oh, I don't want to make him run because he didn't want to. Like,
yeah.
Because he can't see.
Right.
Like, are they going to...
He doesn't know if there's a step or a rock or
right.
something, right?
So I was just like, well, that all that I'm saying is it made me think when you just said that, like, you can't force someone to walk quickly. Like, someone like Riley is not going to want to run.
Right.
Some people just, you know, they don't like to run, too. Like, maybe just, like, an overweight person or something. They were just upset because he was walking extra slow, maybe on purpose.
You're talking about Ridley.
Yeah, to get more video. But he was complying.
He was complying. He was leaving as he was ordered
to
do.
He was, like, deep in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't even see the front of the hotel anymore. And he was still going towards his car, slowly just, like, narrating to his camera, like, talking about the day. And then also, so they showed back up.
Yep.
Like, they went after him again. They were like, he's not going yet. Even though he's walking towards his car.
Yep.
And he told them that.
Yeah, it didn't matter, but ultimately he did win that case. And so, let's see, going back to the current situation. So we showed up today because at the request of a First Amendment auditor named Press NH Now, that is his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He is a, I don't think he's a Free State or anything like that.
I think he's from here.
Yeah, I think he's a native.
Well, it sounds like it, so I'm just guessing.
At least a native to New England, certainly. But he lives in New Hampshire, and he's one of those guys, like our former co-host Joa, who goes around to different government agencies, government bureaucracies, into what are ostensibly public places where you and I would be allowed to go, and he records video in those places. That's what a First Amendment auditor does. The idea is you take a video camera into any place where you would normally be allowed to go, not some restricted area or whatever, but an actual public place. And then you just see what the bureaucrats do. Are they friendly? Do they allow you to come in? Do they call the police on you? Do they freak out?
Do they answer questions?
Do they answer questions?
Do they give you their names?
Right. There's certain things that they do to kind of put these bureaucrats to the test.
Right.
And it's a very valuable service, and I'm really glad to see people like Press NH Now are actually able to make a living off of this. I don't know if it's a good living, but it is, you know, enough to make, you know, rent payments and probably put some food on the table.
He had made videos going to Puerto Rico last week.
He has
a new radio. I think he does good.
I certainly hope he does. He's continuing to do it, so that must mean that it's working out for him. And I'm glad that people are supportive of this financially, because I think it is a really valuable thing that he does. But something about him and a lot of these First Amendment auditors is they are kind of lone wolves. They do like to show up alone at a place and do their thing by themselves. Every now and then you'll see a couple of them get together for like a, you know, collaboration or whatever you would call that. But for the most part, they go into places alone, and that's just sort of their MO. That's how they do things. But in this case, he reached out to me, and he said, you know, could you help me out here? I would like to have some people show up to observe this, to witness this, potentially to take part as well.
Because they had gone crazy, the court.
The Hillsborough court?
Yeah, they'd gone overboard. They were like, you can't record yourself going in there to put in a motion, and you can't even record in the courthouse when you have your trial.
In the courtroom?
Courtroom.
Which is complete BS, and we know that one's going to not be able to be true. But the claim that they would, that he is not allowed to record in the courthouse his own interactions with the bureaucrats, this is something that he's been kind of chomping at the bit at to challenge, at least in my previous conversations with him. He's been really frustrated by this courthouse recording ban, and he's been wanting to challenge it. And so apparently the prosecutor of the Hillsborough court specifically threatened him with arrest if he comes in and records video in the court lobby. And so today, he went into the court lobby and to the clerk's window and recorded video the entire time and was not arrested for it. So that is the victory, if you want to call it that, today. Now, police were called. There were three town of Hillsborough police officers that showed up to the scene. There was one court security officer on duty that day. There was no one else in this courthouse with the exception of one or two clerks behind the clerk's window. So there was no actual, like, other people. It was just the activists who showed up to back up Press NH Now.
Right. There was nobody in there doing private business and, we could accidentally record over their shoulder or purposely record over their shoulder and get private information.
Yeah, this is the big objection.
Yeah,
so when,
that's their excuse.
Right. This is the government goons, their excuse for why this recording rule is necessary. Oh, there could be somebody, a juvenile could be present. Juveniles deserve protection because they're under the age of 18. So
if you're 17 and a camera captures you, you just disappear.
Well, we know that's silly nonsense, but there's this certain view that people under the age of 18 are due certain legal protections, and so they like to trot out, well, there could be juveniles around, or there could be somebody else with private information they're giving to the clerks, or whatever. And it's like, that is such a pointless argument, because if I were interested in going to a court to take photographs or video of juveniles in the courthouse, and I was prohibited from going in and doing it in the courthouse, then all I would do was stand outside the courthouse and record them coming in and out of the courthouse.
Or if you really wanted to record juveniles, you'd have a better time just doing it in Keene Central Square or something.
But specifically, they're worried about ones that are going to court, right? Because
yeah,
that's the concern. Why are they in court? What is the charge? Because all that stuff's sealed. You can't go into a juvenile court hearing unless you are a party to that particular hearing. So juvenile cases are not open to the public. Fine, whatever. I think that's stupid, but whatever.
Yeah.
Leaving that aside, the idea is we have to ban cameras from the court, and apparently audio recorders, and apparently still photography, ban all of those things from the courthouse in order to, quote-unquote, protect juveniles or protect domestic violence victims. Again, if I want to record every single victim of domestic violence who's going into that court, all I have to do is stand outside. They are not allowed to go in through the cop entrance unless they're under arrest, right? Like, there's only one way that average people who are there for court can go into any court building.
Yep.
There's not multiple entrances that are open to the public.
Yeah.
So they would have to go through the front door, and I can stand out there legally all day long and record all the video I want to of every single person coming in there.
Not and only if that, it was something about, well, they're going to be writing down personal information,
mm-hmm,
have something like a voting booth where people write their information down, you know?
Sure, or take them into another room if there's certain sensitive information that's being passed from, like, if you're standing at the court clerk's window.
And it should be by request. It should be like, yeah, the court should have, clerk should have to say, like, would you like to be in a private
absolutely
room? And then they can be like, no,
yes or
thanks.
No. Right, and because otherwise, what does it matter if I have an audio recording device or a video recording device or a pen and a piece of paper? I could stand behind that person in line and eavesdrop on their conversation and write down every single thing that they say.
Right.
So the whole thing, all of the excuses around why there's no cameras available or allowed to be used in the courthouse situation is total BS. Let's go to the phones here. Talk to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? That's what I always loved about Free Talk Live. It was one of the only shows you can call in and take the show in any direction that you wanted.
It's
and
true.
I really, really appreciate that. The show has just always been incredible to me. And this is Bobby, and I just always appreciate this, and I'll always cherish what you made and brought here. But I had a relationship advice for Bonnie, and I wanted to get one in for her and see what she has to think.
You have a question for Bonnie or advice for Bonnie?
He said he has advice.
Relationship advice.
Okay.
Well, I don't need it, but thank you.
Well, anyway, what do you want to say? Go ahead.
Relationship advice for me.
Go ahead.
Oh. Okay, go ahead.
You know, Bonnie's relationship advice hour.
Right. So it's a question.
Yeah, that's what he asked. I thought you were giving me advice. But go ahead with your question.
I know Bonnie has all her stuff together. Look at her. She's gorgeous. She's got Ian. She's in the studio.
Well, thank you.
It's true. All right. So what's the question?
Okay. So anyways, here's the thing. Ian knows I've been calling in for over a decade, but so I just finally got my apartment about a year and a half ago, but I had to live through group homes for about 2 years, and I was homeless and lived in group homes for 2 years.
Mm.
Finally got some help, and anyways, I got an apartment on the ocean on Tampa.
Nice.
I lucked out. Yeah. Anyways, I mean, hey, do what you can. But it took 2 years. And anyways, I've been knowing this girl, and I knew her since high school.
And I knew her, you know, when I was 18, 19. And at the time, you know, she was, you know, we were Christian and everything. And, you know, she didn't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And so I never pushed her or asked her to do anything. And there was another girl that at the time, she liked me. But I was, you know, I didn't, you know, really wasn't into her. But she, you know, she liked me. And so I just started going out with her. And she wanted to do stuff. And so I did stuff with her. And so I didn't ever do anything with the other girl. But, you know, I was in a relationship with that one girl for 3 years. But, you know, I just couldn't keep in contact with the other one because the girlfriend for 3 years, she told me she didn't want me to keep talking to her because you know, she didn't want her as a friend. So I stopped talking to her for like 3 years, lying ahead to her from like 19 to 22. Okay, all right. But then after I broke up with that girl, I started talking to her again. And we've been in, you know, contact, I would say at least, you know, 3-4 times a year through text, you know, just at least in contact. So I haven't stayed in contact with hardly anyone for 20 years. This is like the two people that I really stay in contact from high school. And I know that I know her and there's one other person and I only know them because, I lived by them, you know, when I moved here from Florida, from South Carolina. But anyways,
does she still live in the area? So, this girl, is she still nearby?
So I had to move, you know, because I had to go where the housing was.
But she lives in North Carolina.
She lives now about 2 hours. No. She lives in Florida. But we used to live, you know, close by. But now she lives 2 hours away.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So finally, you know, I finally got my own apartment. I finally got my own place. You know, I finally got my stuff together. You know, it's taken me all this time. You know, I just turned 30, you know, 34. I'm just, you know, and it's been a hard life for me. And Ian knows how hard I've been through it and all the calls. And, you know, he helped me one time. The cops were banging on my hotel door because they smell pot. And he told me to go answer the door. And I mean, all kinds of good stuff. But anyway, so I've been talking to this girl. And so anyways, I invited her over and everything. And, and it was kind of cool, you know. But here's the thing. She's severely overweight. She's probably about 230 pounds.
What was she when you knew her in high school?
About me. She was probably about 180, so she was about 30 pounds more.
Oof, okay.
Okay, maybe 40 pounds more. Anyways, she's probably about 240 now. She's about probably 180 in high school. She's a bigger girl, you know, anyways. Definitely a bigger girl. She's only like 5'3", you know.
Okay.
But I don't care because I'm a bigger guy, you know. But here's the thing. I finally got my insurance, and so I went and got gastric bypass surgery. It was only $194,000 that they charged the insurance company. So I got the gastric bypass surgery. I was at 417 pounds.
Damn, dude.
In January. I'm down to 260 pounds now.
Nice.
In August.
Wow.
And so I've got 60 pounds more to go to get to 200.
Are you doing any working out? Walking? Have you changed your diet?
Yes, I live in a high rise. So what I do is there's 15 floors.
Nice.
So I walk up and down the stores.
Great.
Like,
wow.
Stairs, do 15. Yeah, and then I got me a weight bench that folds up and down, and I got, you know, free weights, you know, and you can change the little barbells, and it's got dumbbells, and you can, you know, hook the little things onto it. And, and I got those when I was like 16, 17, but I haven't been able to weight lift in, you know, about 4 years, you know, so I'm starting to get back into it, you know, and so I just did all this whole transformation, everything.
Good for you, Bobby. That really must feel good.
Yeah, and so... things are going well for me, and so I was just happy about that. But with this girl, she came over, and anyways, she was acting kind of weird, and all. The thing right now...
LRN.FM. I hit the dump button. I'll give you a chance on this, because I know that was an accident. So just stand by, and you were saying you don't have a car, Bobby?
You don't have a car, but you have something else?
No, I don't have I have a really cool bike. It's a Mongoose Dolomite. The Mongoose Dolomite bike. It's got 26-inch rims, and it's a huge, it's a really cool bike.
All right,
bike.
So what's that have to do with the girl?
Yeah, I just want to know.
Well, nothing. I don't have a car. She has a car.
Okay.
And so
it's a little awkward, but that's okay. You can get through that.
I can get through that, but she's holding it over my head.
Because
I wanted to go, there's an IMAX theater, and it's like 1.5 miles. And she's like, oh, well, it would be so fun because we can take the city bus. And I'm like, oh, have you ever taken the city bus? It takes 48 minutes to go 1.5 miles.
You can walk that in 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and out here, you know, it's 95 degrees heat, 100 degrees humidity. By the time you walk there, you guys are drenched.
True.
You know,
you definitely aren't
wanting to feel, you know, anything. Yeah, so anyway, she's kind of on the overhead being weird. Anyways, it comes out, and so we get to the time where we're at my place, and it's getting down to it. And anyways, we get to it, and she comes out and tells me that she has herpes.
Oh,
okay.
Well, at least you told you in advance.
Yeah.
In advance? Was it in advance?
Yes.
Okay.
It was in advance.
Okay.
And so before I did anything, you know, because I was thinking real quick, and I know we got to get around what we're talking about, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, you can only do certain things if, you know, somebody has herpes. And so I was worried about getting Ronald McDonald's face or something. You know what I mean? And so I was getting worried about that, and I didn't want to, you know, but I do like the girl. She's cool. She's always, you know, stuck with me, you know, but I just don't know if I can get over the fact that, you know, she said that she got it off a toilet seat. And I
said, hold on. You don't know if you can get over the fact or the fact?
The fact that she has herpes.
The fact.
No, the fact.
Well, okay.
She says she's a virgin.
So that's.
She still says she's a virgin.
Oh, wow.
And she's in her 30s?
Yes.
Okay,
so let me see if I can summarize the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You knew this girl. She's gained 40 pounds. She's only 5'3", and she's at 220. And she is a virgin in her 30s, but she has herpes, but she claims she got it from a toilet seat. Okay, let's just take that at her word. I'm not saying she's lying or anything. I guess it's possible. Or from something else, like trying on clothes, maybe. I have no clue. Like, never had herpes. Well, I can tell you that my sister, she dated a guy that had herpes. And I don't know how to say this on the air, but basically you can...
Medically?
You can find out... I mean, you will know when you're having what's called a flare-up.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't believe that she was okay with this. She was like, listen, Bonnie, it's fine. You only do medical things, or not medical things. You only do biological processes with somebody who has herpes when they're not having a flare-up. And you can obviously tell. And she said she never got herpes.
So
she
it's not communicable? This isn't medical advice, right? But it may or may not be communicable.
This isn't official Bonnie relationship advice. This is only para-official Bonnie relationship advice. But I would say if you really like that girl and you think she's, like, worth it, maybe you should stick with her and just... realize that you shouldn't do certain biological processes with her while she's having a flare-up, and ask your doctor about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's good to ask the doctor. I don't know if you had more, Bobby, but hang on, because we may not have heard everything. The number is 603-283-6160.
Can you say have sex on there?
You certainly can.
Okay,
thanks for coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer.
The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.